Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we have come to you because we seek the food, the bread that gives us eternal life. We want to be sustained by your word. And so at this time, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our heart might be good and acceptable and pleasing to you, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. So the last time I preached on Article 17 of the Mennonite Confession of Faith, dealing with the choices involved in being a disciple of Christ. The disciple has to make a very stark choice, I had mentioned, between the world and Jesus Christ. As part of that larger choice, I address three special choices that each disciple has to make. The choice between seeking after the will of God over the willful pursuit of one's own happiness. Choosing peace over violence, and choosing biblical sexuality over the world's lustful enticements. Today we are going to look at the next article, Article 18, which addresses another dimension of discipleship, Christian spirituality. Now, if you look at the definition of spirituality, you will get in a regular dictionary, you will get something like this. Spirituality is the quality of being concerned with religion or the human spirit. Now, if you look at that definition, it is extremely generic, extremely broad, and it almost means very little, right? Christian spirituality, on the other hand, means something very specific and is spelt out well in Article 18. Article 18 opens with these words. We believe that to be a disciple of Jesus is to know life in the Spirit. Now, Spirit there is the capital S, which talks about the Holy Spirit. In other words, it is saying we believe that a disciple of Jesus is someone who knows life in the Holy Spirit. Now, if I were to summarize what Article 18 says on a whole, in one sentence, it would be something like this. To know life in the Spirit of God is to have an extraordinary relationship with the Savior of the world. So while we have focused on the meaning of the word spirituality considerably already at this point, we are still speaking actually in broad terms, right? So to get us even more focused, I'm going to address two specific aspects of a disciple's relationship with their Savior that Article 18 brings to our attention. And to do that, to be true to the Mennonite spiritual roots, I'm going to use two German words that I'm sure you would memorize by the end of this. So to get to the first point, paragraph 2 of Article 18 begins like this. By confessing Christ and receiving baptism, we are brought into a new relationship with God through Christ. In God's love, our whole life is freed, transformed, reordered, and renewed. In loving and knowing God, we experience communion with God and allow more and more of our life to be conformed to the way of Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection. Now, this is where I'm going to focus on even further. And it says, we yield ourselves to God, letting the Holy Spirit mold us into the image of Christ. Now, the verb there is yield. And that is what we're going to focus on. This paragraph opens with a description of the start of a new relationship with Jesus. The relationship starts by confessing Christ That means declaring who Christ is to you and then receiving baptism. Now, the baptismal act is a visual and external demonstration of what has taken place inside of you, right? So in that sense, baptism is what a marriage ceremony is to the marriage relationship, right? A baptism is visual and external, just like a marriage ceremony is. But you see, when two people get married, there are some internal changes that takes place in the heart of the couple towards each other that are less visible than a big ceremony, right? But it is those internal heart changes that are critically important to making that relationship work, right? So one of those internal heart changes that takes place in the Christ-disciple relationship is a German word that I told you was coming, and it is called Gelassenheit. Okay, can you say Gelassenheit? Okay, so now Gelassenheit means to yield oneself to a higher authority. Yielding to authority is a very, very important value in the Bible. To understand how this works, it might be helpful to look at our faith cousins in the Amish world. Now, the Amish very much value Gelassenheit, this yielding to authority. They teach their children to yield to the authority of their parents, wives to the authority of their husbands, husbands to the authority of their church leadership, and church leadership and pastors to lead to the authority of their overseers, which in the Amish world includes bishops. Now, yielding is a value that is diametrically opposite to the culture that we live in. Because in the culture that we live in, yes, we have the law enforcement authorities and we have courts that help society function. But ultimately, the message to everyone is, you know, you should live to please yourself and no one else. Don't worry about anyone else, right? You are the king of your own universe. Now, some people might even say, I don't recognize any other authority but God's. Now, the problem with this thinking is twofold. How can you say you are yielding to God's authority when you are at that very moment rejecting the authorities that God has asked you to yield to, right? It's a contradiction in itself. That is not really yielding to God's authority at all. Now, in 1 John 4:20, it says this about love. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. You see what is happening here in this verse? It's saying what you do to people whom you can see is an indication of what you're going to do to God whom you cannot see. So the same is true for yielding or Gelassenheit. How can you say you are yielding to God whom you cannot see when you do not yield to the authorities that you see in front of you? On the other hand, if you do practice Gelassenheit with those whom you can see, you will be in a better position to yield to the one whom you cannot see, that is your Heavenly Father. So remember Gelassenheit. Now I want to put forth two principles related to this yielding or Gelassenheit. The first is this. If you think that yielding is below you, just remember Jesus Christ, the maker of heaven and earth, the one by whom and for whom all things in the entire universe was created. And yet one of the things that is unique and remarkable about Jesus is that he was always talking about his own yielding to his heavenly Father. So who then has the right to feel too cool to be an yielded person? Right? Ironically, it is in our yieldedness that we are all equal in Christ. The second point is this. Now, if you have someone, if you have spiritual authority over someone, you do not have to make that person yield to you. Okay? The responsibility of yielding is with the one who has to do the yielding. Otherwise, it is not yielding but coercion. And that is not what the Bible talks about. Now, if for those who you have spiritual authority over, they have a choice. They can yield or they can not yield, rebel. But here's the thing. If someone who does not yield to your spiritual authority, then it is really on them. You are not accountable to God for them because they have refused to yield to your authority. On the other hand, if you do have authority over someone else and they do yield to your authority, and if they mess up, then you will be accountable to God, not only for yourself, but all those whom you have spiritual authority over. As you can imagine, so having spiritual authority comes with a tremendous weight. And that is why we have to pray for those in authority, especially spiritual authority, because it is not an easy burden to carry. One last thing about Gelassenheit. You see, the literal English translation of this German word is not yieldedness, that is the theological implication of the word, but the literal translation actually is serenity. Serenity. I remember when I was in Pittsburgh, we used to have an international student ministry that I was associated with, but it was not primarily the ministry that I was doing on a day-to-day basis. But this ministry used to put on for Christmas a big banquet that had about 600 people attending. It was in a beautiful hall, and all those 600 people were served a sit-down dinner, and everything was free for all the attendees. Now, this was a truly remarkable event. But part of the reason why this event made such an impression on me was that the founder of this ministry, Reverend Stonebreaker, was also pastor of the Allegheny Wesleyan Methodist Church, which was part of the Holiness Movement. Now, I have no idea how big this church is, and how many people were involved from that church in this ministry. But I do know that everything that we had there was actually cooked by the people in that church, and they served and they cleaned up and they did everything to make this entire event work. It was a big production, as you can imagine. But the thing that struck me about this is not the food that they served, but the people who did the serving. Because the Allegheny Wesleyan Methodist Church people were a very different and remarkable people. You could see something different about them that I can distinctly remember to this day. Now, at that point of time, I couldn't put my finger on what it was. But today, with the experience that I have and the benefit of hindsight, I can now say that what I noticed in those people was Gelassenheit. They were a people yielded to God, and I could see it on their faces. They had a serenity about them. They served with great dignity and grace and absolutely quietly in the background. And it made an impression on me. And so 20 years later, I still remember what those people made me feel. When you are yielded to God, you have a serenity in your life that passeth all understanding. Being a disciple of Christ means wearing your yieldedness with grace. There's another value that is important to Mennonite spirituality. It's the second word that I want to introduce to you. Some of you may be familiar with it. It's called Frommigkeit. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this right. But Frommigkeit means a devoutness or piety. Now, sometimes people think piety is about putting on a show of religiosity and an attitude of being holier than everybody else around them. That could not be further from the truth. You see, piety or devoutness is simply the sincere practice of spiritual disciplines that helps you be yielded to Christ in the first place. You see, Gelassenheit does not happen automatically, just as you don't wake up one morning and decide to run a marathon, right? Before you can run 26 miles, you have to wake up and decide to run 1 mile or 2 miles, right? And then you build on that distance very gradually until your regular schedule allows you to expand your capacity and one day you can go all the way to 26 miles. Now, this is how I believe it works because I've never done it, but I'm sure it works that way. Well, piety and devoutness is the diligent engagement of the spiritual disciplines. Article 18 details the spiritual disciplines as prayer, study of scripture, reflection on God, corporate worship, singing, hymns, simplicity, witness, and service are training in godliness. So there are two aspects to Frommigkeit or piety. If you want to increase your capacity to live faithfully, following the instructions of the Lord of your life, you need to know the will of God, and you have to be able to do the will of God, right? You have to know the will and you have to do it. So knowing the will of God for you for that particular day is where your prayer, your Bible study, your reflection on God, corporate worship even, singing of hymns, that's where it helps you to know God's will in your life. That's one aspect of Frommigkeit. But piety also includes the second aspect, which is doing the will of God. That is where simple living, or what I call a detached attitude to material things, witness and service, these other things that are mentioned in Article 18 comes in. So those who are doing part of the will, those are doing the will of God. In the parable of the wise and foolish builders, for a long time I thought that the difference between the wise and foolish builder was just that the wise person built their foundation on Jesus Christ. But actually, if you were to read it, the foundation of the wise man's house in Luke 6 verses 47 to 48, this is what it says. It says, "I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like the person who built a house, who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock." In other words, clearly, the solid foundation is not just about knowing who Jesus is. It is about listening to the teachings of Jesus Christ and following it, putting it into practice. So piety or Frommigkeit is also about doing the will of God. So when you put these two pieces together, piety is this daily intentional exercise in knowing the will of God and executing or doing the will of God. Practicing the spiritual disciplines is like training to get better and better at yieldedness to human authorities and ultimately to Christ himself. Remember, God is always looking at the heart of human beings. God looks at our intentions. God looks at the way people prepare themselves to walk with Him on a daily basis. And then God responds to every individual and to the devotion that they have towards Him. James chapter 4 verse 8 says, "Draw near to Him and He will draw near to you." 1 Timothy 4, 7 to 8 says this, "Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come." So what are the benefits of these spiritual disciplines then? Article 18 says this, "Such disciplines open us to a growing relationship with God and to putting ourselves more completely in the hands of God. Disciplines are also preparation for times of testing and suffering. If we practice the presence of God in calmer times, we find it easier to know God's presence in difficult times." End of quote. In other words, the serenity from having yieldedness in your life comes from practicing the spiritual disciplines when things are not too bad. The gelassenheit in your face comes from the frommigkeit in your schedule. That is what the spiritual life of a discipline of Jesus Christ looks like according to Article 18. And remember this, when you are yielded to Christ, you are connected to Christ. John 15 verses 5 to 8 says this, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." Colossians 2:6-7 says this, "Since you have accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, live in union with Him. Keep your roots deep in Him. Build your lives on Him and become stronger in your faith as you were taught. And be filled with thanksgiving." This, my friends, is the blueprint of the spiritual life of a disciple of Christ. A disciple of Christ, in order to practice an yieldedness to Christ, practices first at yieldedness to human authorities in their life. A disciple also practices spiritual disciplines daily with two objectives: to know the will of God and to do the will of God. Then they will be deeply connected to Jesus, like a grapevine is connected to its branches, yielding abundant fruit for its Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. May all of us be yielded and connected to Christ so that we can be that branch that bears much fruit to the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for your saving grace in each one of our lives. And you have done the work. And now you invite us into a beautiful place of yieldedness to you. You give us a garment not just of righteousness, but of serenity, of peace. So that when we walk about in this world that is so full of strife and challenges and darkness, the world may look upon us, your disciples, and wonder where that serenity comes from. And may them then seek the source of that serenity. You who are not just our Savior, but the Savior of the world. So be with us, Lord, and equip us and help us to wear that garment with even more grace every single day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.